I think we all agree, right? Is lying a good thing? This is one of those, like, I was very tempted, like, don't lie. Amen. Let's go on to the next song. And you'd be like, yeah, greatest sermon ever. We all know things about lying. We know certain things like, well, God hates lying, right? We understand that partially, and this is going to be an overarching thought to make sure you have through the entire sermon, which is God is truth. I mean, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so God is truth. God cannot lie. And so he has an issue when falsehoods are a part, especially of his people, his covenantal people. We also know that there is someone who Jesus called the father of lies, and that was Satan. And that's because we see that in the very, very opening of Scripture, the lying that took place, very subtle, very deceptive lying. So we know that Satan is the father of lies. We know that we're not supposed to lie. But we often ask the question, here's the question that I get asked on this. What is the definition of a lie? Are all lies bad? What can we do about it? And if we are supposed to be truth tellers, how do we also do that properly? I have to admit, I uncovered just a ton of material, and I thought it was interesting, some of the stuff. And I admit, just so you know, I do sometimes listen to my old sermons, because, wow, I was really smart at one time. And what a lie. Yeah, what a lie. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be one of those sermons, huh? Yeah. If you want, I do believe that when people ask me sometimes in sermonizing what my best opening has ever been in my 25 years of preaching, it was my opening on this commandment. We were in the movie theater. It was called Cinema City Theater back in the day, or was it Cinemopolis at that time? I can't remember. So this is going way back. It was by far the best opening I've ever had. I was tempted to recreate it, but I just couldn't. I don't know. I don't think I could do that. You should go back and listen to that. But one of the opening scripture passages we looked at was Proverbs chapter 6. And it was interesting. As I was listening to myself, I'm looking at the Proverbs 6 passage, and I noticed something that I hadn't ever noticed up until there. And that was exactly, how bad does God hate lying? Like, we understand it made the top 10, but in the book of Proverbs, and if you're there, that's great. Proverbs chapter 6, starting at verse 16, and don't look ahead yet, just if you want to peek at it, you can. It says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven things that he abhors or like really hates. So, and this is one of those things where, well, is it six or is it seven? You know, you say six, but the idea is it's building up. There's seven. So before you even look at it, don't look at it too closely. Don't look at it too. What would you say if you were going to be like, what are the seven things that God hates the most? What would they be? Glutton. You're going to throw gluttony in there. All right. Yeah. Okay. Josh? Murder, right? I mean, we pretty much think God hates murder. I've kind of covered that. Yeah. What was that? Stealing, okay. Idolatry, good. Gossiping. Lying, coveting. Now you're just doing the Ten Commandments. That's great, yeah. But the problem is there's only seven things the Lord hates, so how do we reduce? Anything else? Making jokes during a sermon. You will... I am going to be so excited. There are several times in the book of Deuteronomy where it says you must listen and obey your godly leaders for punishment of being stoned to death. I am so excited when that happens. It's going to be great. Yeah. Matthias.
Cheating on someone.
Okay, good. Yeah. So these are good, interesting things. So are you there on Proverbs 6? Look at verse 16. So it says there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. So I'm not surprised. The first one actually, I think, would be God's number one hating thing. God hates people who are prideful. Pride is just something that he just, no, do not be. So that's what the haughty eyes, I don't know why it's phrased that way, but haughty eyes means being arrogant or being prideful. A lying tongue. Okay, so lying got second billing. Now you're going to be, again, I didn't notice until just this last time. Hands that shed innocent blood, so Joshua killing, yeah, good. A heart that devises wicked schemes. A schemer. Ooh, yeah, all right. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. Oh, interesting. A false witness who pours out lies. And that's when it hit me. I was reading, I was like, wait, yeah, it showed up twice. I'm like, this must be a really significant thing for God. And of course, then, it finishes up, a man who stirs up dissension against his pastor. And, sorry. Against brothers. Yeah. I was shocked to find out that lying shows up twice. This is a really important thing. Again, I don't want you to sit there and go, I don't want you to sit there and say this is someone else's problem, because I do want to try something, if that's okay. Close your eyes, and don't you dare peek, and don't you dare look. If you are married, don't look at your significant. If you're dating, don't look at your significant. Because I'm just really curious. We're going to do this. On a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being, yeah, I'm not a liar. I'm a pretty good truth teller. To 5 being, yeah, pretty much my whole life is a lie. Keep your eyes closed. And again, I'm going to see this. And if you're like, oh, I can't say this to, the pastor, well, then I guess don't put up anything. All right, just a scale of 1 to 5. How bad? Like 1, you're pretty good. 5, you're terrible. What would you do? Okay, so put your, okay, good, good. All right, okay, all right. Someone just put up 10. Yeah, that's it. All right, go ahead and put your hands out. Keep your eyes closed. Now, out of curiosity, how many of you just lied right now? Yeah. All right, you can open your eyes. Lying is in the fabric of our society. It's almost expected. We're going to be hitting into November, which means we're going to hit politicians. Would we say that most of them are honest? I mean, we have a lot of people that make a lot of promises and don't follow through on things. Lying is a part of TV shows and movies. It's just, and it's also woven into the very fabric of your being. Who here, if you've had children, who here has had to teach your child how to lie? It never happens, right? I mean, did you have to teach? Oh, yeah, because we are good at that. Like, hey, it would be good if you fudged the truth a little. For instance, right, you're getting ready to take a nice trip to Disneyland, right? And you're excited because you're finally taking your kids aged 10 and 3, and you go online and you start ordering the tickets and you realize that ages 10 and up is a full adult priced ticket. So if I could tell them that they're 9, then I'm going to save some money. And then you find out for the 3-year-old that under the age of 3, it's free. Are they checking the IDs of these little children? So all they're doing is trusting that. So I agree. I think that sometimes we teach our kids to be subtle liars, but bold-faced liars, well, those, right? You could actually have your kid standing in front of you, completely and utterly destroyed clothes, muddy from top to bottom, and you ask them, were you outside playing in the mud? And they will look at you and say, no. And they're going to have their big eyes, no. And you're like, you're so cute. I think that's why God made kids cute. Otherwise, they're lying pieces of garbage. We don't ever have to teach people how to lie. And I agree, because the other problem we have is I think most of us say lying bad. We'll just say that lying bad. But what do we say about all the other stuff? For instance, would you consider it a lie if you told Disneyland that your kid was not 9 0.75 and 2.75 in their ages. Would you do that? Well, a better question, would you do that versus is that a sin? Is that a lie? We have white lies. We have half-truths. We have very, very subtle things. Hanging out with your guy friends. You're watching a movie, playing some video games. And all of a sudden, you look down at your phone and you have 17 texts and 3 missed phone calls from your wife. And it says, "Where are you?" And you realize, "Oh no, I lost track of time." And so you quickly hop on the phone and you're like, already in the car, traffic is bad, I'll be home soon. Is that a lie? Oh, Andrea's like, yep, that's a lie. I'm going to say it out loud. How about this? You're on Snapchat and you regularly communicate to your exes and other guys that are really cute. And then your boyfriend says, "Hey, are you communicating with members of the opposite sex?" And you're like, "Well, it's Snapchat, so it has that wonderful little feature that it just disappears." So you're like, "No, I totally don't do that." Is that a lie? Is that lie bad? How about you're an older person and you're getting back into the dating scene as an older person? And you find someone who you like, but you know for a fact your kids, your adult children, would absolutely disapprove of the person you're seeing. And so you simply don't say anything. Is that a lie? It's a lie of omission. I knew you were going to get this. This is going to be later on my thing. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm never going to live that down. I still maintain that I wasn't that bad, but I will acquiesce. What George is referring to, was that really a lie? That was, see, I'm going to hold on to that because what that is speaking, we're told to be truth tellers, speaking the truth, but we should do that in a special way. So I'm going to hold on to that, George. Never going to live that down. I was telling others that I'm pretty good at not sinning, and then you all just simply remind me of this. Okay, how about this? On your job application, you're applying for a new job, and it says, must have experience working with Mac products. But you don't know Mac products, but you do play Candy Crush on your iPad, and you figure, I can learn on the job? So you, no, I did not tell you to do that. No. What I did was I said, when you are applying for something, if they are looking for a certain thing, you highlight the characteristics that they are looking for, but no, don't lie about it. If it said, no. Okay, I'm in control here, people. Yeah. No, I told him to highlight his strengths, but not to lie. I didn't say, tell him you have 10 years experience working as an animator. Did I tell you to do that? Because why do I tell you that? Because usually at the bottom of the thing, I even have to copy and paste it for it because it says, you don't think you qualify? Apply anyway. We're always looking for good candidates. So I always say, just like, you might not fit the qualifications, but they may become desperate like us. I didn't tell you to lie, son. Oh my God. I knew I shouldn't have put the job application one, right? And then of course, you see this all the time. The kid is cookie crumbles and chocolate chips on his face and the cookie jar is empty and did you eat the cookies? It is a low blow. You blame it on your older brother. You blame it on the dog. These lies, they come in a lot of forms. And this is where I think Christians end up in a lot of problems. Because I think we're all pretty good about the bold-faced lies. Like, we're pretty good about that. Don't be a bold-faced liar. But then what Christians do is we ask the very simple question, how far can we go? And where is the line that then crosses into actually lying? I would say that all of the examples that I gave you would, in fact, cross over into the concept of lying. And I tell you that not because I think I'm good at this, but I've done this as well. As we've been going through these Ten Commandments, I want us all to remember that we are all guilty, even as Christians, of not following through with what God has said. The temptation was super strong a couple of weeks ago for me. We're repairing my kitchen ceiling because rats chewed my hot water line and flooded it and dropped it. So we've been fixing. And so I've been going to Lowe's a lot and buying some stuff. And recently I went to Lowe's, a bunch more slats, and I wasn't sure if I wanted an 18-inch shelf or a 24-inch shelf. So I bought one of each, and I was going to put it on the wall, see what I liked, and, you know, a bunch of hangers for that as well. And so got home, checked it. Sure enough, 18 was too small. I needed two 24s. So I'm going to run back to Lowe's. I got to still pick up some more. All right, you always have to go back. And I go into Lowe's with my 18-inch shelf and my receipt. And I go up and I was like, hey, I bought this. I just need to return this and buy a 24-inch. And they scan the receipt and they're like, that's the wrong receipt. I go, no, that's the right receipt. I just bought this yesterday. They're like, it's not on the receipt. I look on the receipt and I start going down the list and I realize something. They didn't scan like five different items on my receipt. I'm all alone. Even Heather's not with me. That rule follower, Heather, she's not with me. I don't think the girl is a member of my church. And I stood there for a moment. If I wanted to, I'd just be like, I'll just walk away. And I'm like, man, I'm preaching this stupid sermon series all about following God's commands. And then I ended up, and it cost me a lot of time. So I went and I grabbed the 24-inch shelf, the brackets, the things that were not on the list, and I go to check out, and I pay for it, and I'm like, ma'am, can you please keep that and that and that? She's like, what do you mean keep? I'm like, I bought these things. It was not on my receipt, so I didn't pay for them, so I need you to please keep them. And she's like, sir, I do not feel comfortable doing that. Please just take the items. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm trying to be honest here, right? And isn't that the tough thing when you also try to do what is right? Sometimes it actually costs us more time, more energy, often more heartache. But I paid for it, and then I'm literally walking out. She's like, sir, are you sure? Just, sir, can you just take it? And I'm thinking, well, she did just tell. No, that would be wrong. So here's what we have to think. Would you change your answer about how much of a liar you are based on the fact that maybe, just maybe, there's other things that you have said or done in life that actually are lies, but you've justified them in your brain? I think most of us would say that. It'd be easy for me to preach about bold-faced lying because then we could be smug and arrogant and look at the world and go, well, all those horrible sinners out there. No, you are a sinner. I am a sinner, and we are in need of help. Now, I tried to start getting into a little bit of the psychology behind lying, and I think it really just comes down to one thing. Why do we lie? I think there's... You could probably get into a lot of sub-answers, but I think it really comes down to one major thing, and that is we are trying to avoid negative consequences. Why do we not tell our boyfriend and girlfriend that we've been chatting with members of the opposite sex? Because we're going to have to face some horrible stuff. Why do we not tell Disneyland the truth about the ages of our children? Because we want to avoid the negative consequences of spending even more money to that horrible, ridiculous place that takes all my money anyway. Why do we not tell someone the truth? Almost always, it's because we don't want the negative consequences. We've also learned something. if we lie, we might get away with it. If we tell the truth, we won't. So we kind of throw it up in terms of the odds, like, well, if I lie, I might get away with it. Avoid the negative consequences altogether. Now, there is a possibility that I am discovered, and then I'm going to have to face the negative consequences. But if I've got a 50-50 shot of avoiding it, I'm going to try to avoid it. Lying is incentivized. That's why none of us here, we hate negative consequences. We hate when we face difficult and painful results of our choices. The problem is, I think that we go from casual lying to habitual lying to then like lifestyle lying. And I think that many of us in the Christian camp, we are good casual liars. I don't think any of us do it habitually. I don't think, but you might. And if you're a casual liar, if you can get away with it, what a great thing. In our house, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, in our house, we had started a rule early on with the kids. You verify this with Joshua, that if you make a mistake and there's a punishment, if you lie about it, the punishment is automatically doubled. There's no questions asked. So I was trying to incentivize telling the truth. And I remember vividly when this first was tested with me, I was with Jacob. He was in Little League Baseball, and he was playing with his ball out in the back. I think he was throwing it up against the block wall, and he threw it, and he hit it, and sure enough, the ball went, hit his bedroom window, and broke. Now, real simple. You could have blamed it on the neighbors. You could have blamed it on the brothers. You could have just been like, I'm going to walk out and leave, and be like, what happened here? But he decided that he was not going to casually lie, and he came and he told me the truth. And this is another thing, the reason why I think what should help us to get away from casual lying is that normally the consequences that we think are coming are going to be way worse than the actual consequences. If I tell my boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, husband, the truth, they might leave me. That is obviously well within the realm of possibility. But many a times that does not happen. So when I asked Jacob, he told me, Dad, I broke the window, threw the ball, boom, boom, hit that, broke it, I'm sorry. I'm like, okay. And I did, I asked him the question, what do you think your punishment should be? It's always a great question to ask. So he started listing a ton of things. Well, I should be grounded. I should have my PlayStation taken away from me. I should not get dessert for a week. I need to pay you. I don't think he knew how much like glass costs. So he's like, I don't know, $1,000. And he's going on and on. And I'm like, wait. Do you really think that's going to be the consequences for breaking? He's like, yeah, Dad, it's bad. I'm sorry. I'm like, okay, here's the consequences. You have to help me fix the window. He's like, wait, and what else? I'm like, that's it. He's like, wait, so you're telling me I'm going to spend time with my dad learning something and fixing it? He's like, am I going to have to pay for it? I said, you're not going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it. He goes, really? I go, yeah. He's like, this is great. I'm going to break more glass. No, he didn't say that. But you try to make sure that when, because we think we can get away with casual lying and because we often overblow the casual lying, we end up engaging in that way more often. Now, the problem happens is if you get really good at casual lying, you just might become a habitual liar. And this is when the lying kind of just comes out of your mouth naturally. The best example that I have, and I'm not going to say who the person is, but it was the best story I have when I'm on a confirmation retreat with a group of students. Yeah, you can if you want to, man, but I was going to keep it hidden. It is the greatest story ever. Right, yeah. So I'm with Anthony, along with others. We're sitting at a table, and we're talking, and, you know, kids are kids, and they're roughhousing and doing stuff. And he had was it in your hand or was it on the table? I think it was in your hand. He has a glass of water in his hand. And I'm literally like, he is right in front of me. And he just slips and the glass of water drops onto the ground and spills. And no joke, as quick as can be, he goes, "Wasn't me, wasn't me, I didn't do it." I'm looking right at you. Let the record reflect, I do not believe that Anthony is a habitual liar. I think he learned from that. And it would be bad for your career choice being a lawyer and all that. Yeah, that would be. We're going to keep moving. 20 things just ran through my head. Let's not do that. When you become a habitual liar, you start becoming numb to the lies you're telling. When you start becoming numb to those lies, you don't get that, that prick of the conscience where, shouldn't have done that. And the problem when you become a habitual liar, it's I think, shown most clearly in the incredible movie Larry Boy and the Fib from Outer Space. It's classic. VeggieTales. You say stuff, and you have to, first of all, keep remembering what lie you've told, and soon it just gets completely out of control. And that's what happens when you end up in the habitual liar category. Now, I think at any time, you can always move back kind of down, de-escalate, so to speak, so that you can get back to casual lying, and then maybe just becoming a truth teller. But I think it's something that if it's left unchecked, eventually your whole life becomes a lie. And I think this is problematic. And sometimes it's fun or funny. Again, I think one of the best examples was shown in that classic tale of a kid who lived on the street, stole a lot, stumbled into a cave and found a lamp, rubbed it, and out came a genie. And he really liked this one girl. And so he's like, "Make me into a prince." And the genie's like, "I think it's a bad idea," right? But he does it, and now he's living a life that is a lie. Everything about him now is a lie. He's not wealthy. He's not smart. He's not savvy in those things. He's a street rat, and he's savvy in the ways of the world. But he's not into this life that this princess is all about. And again, it's that classic thing of he's getting caught in this, caught in that, and things are falling apart, and the genie comes up with the best advice. Tell her the truth. But I think sometimes because we get trapped in that, we're so worried of the consequences that we don't know how to get back out of it. I think that's one of the dangers of lying, is this is one of those that can easily become escalating. If you are someone who is a casual liar and you still feel bad about that, that's a good thing. It should pause. If I just simply had Lowe's and just walked out the door, that's a problem, because I would then be, well, not only would I be lying, but I'd also be stealing. And so there's some problems that I'm going to have with that. You've got to make sure that your life does not become a fraud. So the question that we always have to ask then is, well, how do we change this? How do we not become liars, right? And the obvious answer is so easy, but it's a little more complicated than that, and that is we need to be people who are telling the truth. We also have to be humble enough to be ready for apologies, and this is where I think most of us have the issues. I know it is for me. I'm so worried about the consequences. I hate being wrong. And I hate having to eat crow and confess. This was something that, I tell you, I had a major problem. That whole example I gave you of you're hanging out with your guy friends, that was me to a T. I would often go and hang out with friends, and this was back before cell phones had the Find My iPhone, and there was no location services. Heck, there was even early on when I was on my vicarage, we didn't even have cell phones, we had pagers, right? This is how old I am. And it would be, so I would tell Heather, she'd be like, "Well, when are you coming home?" And I'd be like, "Well, I've got counseling, and then I'm going to be hanging out with so-and-so, and so I'll be home at 9 p.m., right? And then the counseling goes late, and then you're hanging out with your friends. You're like, finally, I get a chance to have a break, and soon it's 9:30. It's getting 9:45, and I knew I was going to be out that late, but I didn't want to tell Heather the truth. I wanted to tell her what she wanted to hear, or it's what I think I wanted her to hear. And so I would just simply lie about it. And this is one of those difficulties we have about being humble enough to confess and to apologize as quickly as possible. I have found when I've told Heather, it's going to be a long night, this is going to be problematic, this is going to be difficult, I think I'm going to be home late, 10 p.m. Do you know what she says? Okay, thanks for letting me know. Wait. All that time of living a lifestyle of lying was causing me a lot of pain, causing her a lot of pain, and it was completely an unnecessary pain. Learning how to simply be free in life. And also, again, trusting that the initial pain you experience will vastly outweigh any further experience. Now, we'll take it to the nth degree because that's always a great thing. If you make a massive mistake with your boyfriend, girlfriend, or your spouse, or even your kids, and you tell the truth, you're going to have some pain. If you lie about it and extend that lie for multiple years, how much worse will it be? Oh, it's. I think we've all done this, right? I know I have. Where I try to simply pretend that that never happened. Yet in the back of my mind, it's always there. We can't escape it. No matter how much we try, we always know we're the ones that are hiding something. And the longer it goes, the more damage it causes. So if you're someone being quick to confess, humble enough to say that you are a sinner, and then know this, God is not fooled. You can get away with lies. You might have been hiding from your family, your friends, your significant other, your parents, your kids. But one person is not fooled, right? And that person is God. Does he already know? Yeah. Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I have watched people who have lived lives that are not honest and ultimately, finally, coming clean and confessing, you should see their demeanor change. The weight is just poured off their shoulders. And it's also tough sometimes because sometimes when a confession happens, there's a lot of damage that has to be dealt with. But the person making the confession is like, man, I feel so much better. God wants you to not be shackled and burdened as much. And he already knows. And he wants you to get free from all of that. Jesus is the one who came to set us free from the choices we make. And then when we live in the covenant relationship with God, we do make those mistakes. But God is quick to forgive. So for you, I think the best thing, and I have to keep reminding myself of this too, best thing, just be honest. Just say what's on our mind. Now, here's some two side points, because I was thinking, man, there's a lot of ways we could take this. And so here's my two side points, because this is what I'm thinking is burning in your brain. Is there ever a time that lying is acceptable? Now, I have a theory, and I want to test it real quick. And it has to do with age demographics. Raise your hand if this is black and white, it's a sin, just call it that. And saying there's no time that lying is acceptable. Raise your hand if that's your belief. Oh, wow, I'm shocked. All of you are gray area people. Are there times when lying, so raise your hand if you think it's acceptable to lie sometimes. Thank you so much. Yeah. Great sermon, Pastor. Thank you. Yeah. This gets into a dicey thing when you start saying, are there times that lying is, are there times in Scripture when there is lying that happens? Yeah? Yeah, Rahab and the two prostitutes. Sorry, the prostitute who got the two spies. There's only one prostitute. One prostitute, two spies that came in. It's a question I've got for God. Like, they went to infiltrate Jericho, and the first place they went to was the prostitute's house. I've got questions, but I don't know how to answer that question. Yeah, and it's great because the prostitute, the one that doesn't seem to be the one that is living the honest lifestyle, is the one who ends up. Yeah, and so does she lie? They show up to the place and say, "Hey, are there two spies here?" And she's like, "You know what? I just saw them jumping over the wall. You should probably run and catch them." And God rewards her, and she is saved. Yeah. Is there another one? It took me a while to find the second one. And I don't know if there's more. Yes, Andrina?
In the Bible. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, in the Bible.
I was thinking of another illustration.
Let's go ahead and say it, because I think this is a good illustration too. Yeah, go ahead. Yes, Corrie Ten Boom. Yeah, so Corrie Ten Boom struggled with this, and she talked about how difficult it was because people would come to the house, and I think it was Holland, occupied Holland, and people came and said, "Are you hiding Jews?" And she had a struggle. Do I tell the truth? If I tell the truth, they die. Now, I found something on Facebook. I could not re-find it again, but I thought this was an interesting thought, and I give it to you just for the mix, but it's we've got to be careful of this one, which is answering the question that's really being asked. And I thought this was interesting. So on that question, it wasn't, are there Jews hiding in your basement? It was, are there Jews that we could kill? And at that point, the answer is nope. Because you're also doing something which is the protection of life. And I think that's important if you want to write this down. Mark chapter 3, verse 4. Mark 3, 4, we won't turn to it, but this is the one where Jesus is in the synagogue and there's a guy and he's got a shriveled hand, and Jesus goes to heal the hand, and the people are watching, is he going to heal on the Sabbath day? So this goes back to one of the previous commandments of don't work on the Sabbath. And so as he's getting ready to do it, he says, what is better on the Sabbath? To kill life or to save life? To do good or to do evil? So I think that sometimes when we get to those extreme examples, it's a little bit easier because we're like, if what I'm going to do in lying is going to save someone, that would be great. Now, I think you can take that too far, right? You know, if let's say you did something terrible when you were younger and you have never confessed this to your significant other. I don't know if it's as bad as infidelity in some way or jail time or a gambling addiction. I don't know what it is, but you never say it. And then you think to yourself, well, 50 years into it, if I confess now, what is that going to accomplish? It's going to accomplish nothing. And I want to save and protect my significant other. Yeah, I don't know if that really qualifies. You're not saving their life. You might be saving them from heartache. But that is an interesting thing, and I don't know the psychology behind that, if people even would want to know. So I'm always careful with that particular example. But that is a great example of, if I lie and someone will actually get harmed and hurt, should I speak up? Should I allow the thing to happen? And then, of course, does anyone know the other one? I didn't even preach this in the other one. What was that? Yeah, Exodus. It's this fascinating story. And if you want to turn to there, Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. Exodus 1:15. And this is one where it is super clear what God thinks about it because of what is said. So this is the beginning of Exodus. The Israelite nation is currently in slavery. They've lost their protected status that they had under Joseph. when he had ascended into the throne. And the pharaohs have since recycled through some, so they don't know about this. So they've taken these Israelite people, and instead of giving them blessings, they've essentially enslaved them. And so this was what verse 15, it says, the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, when you help the Hebrew women in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it is a boy, kill him, but if it is a girl, let her live. And the idea is they were trying to thin out the masculine herd so that there would be less of a chance for an uprising and people to attack. So he told the actual Hebrew midwives, boy, kill, girl, live. Verse 17, the midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. And in this, again, it's a great concept to understand. If there's something that is going to ultimately go against God's law, we just don't do it. We obey God rather than men. And they said, and did not do what the king of Egypt told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? Like, there's a bunch of boy kids running around. The midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. Man, they are vigorous. And they give birth before the midwives arrive. Like, I don't know, like, we get to the thing. Like, kid's already born. Like, I don't know what to do. And I don't know why Pharaoh didn't say, well, then still kill the kid, because it's like you're still killing. But anyway, it worked. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous, and because the midwives feared God and gave them families of their own. It's kind of interesting about this line. So I do believe, and I know that the younger you are, the more black and white the world is. But I believe that there are times when it's okay to lie. But we've got to be careful that those types of lies are not just simply casual lies that we say frequently, and then we ultimately end up becoming more and more habitual in those lies. So what do we do as Christians? We're truth tellers. Now this becomes dicey too. It's not just enough for me to say, tell the truth, but Scripture makes it very clear the kind of truth we're supposed to speak, or how we're supposed to speak the truth. We speak the truth in love. Does this dress make me look fat? No, your fat makes you look fat. Do you like what I made you? That was the most disgusting meal I'd ever tasted in my entire life. Do you think she's pretty? Oh, she is gorgeous. I'm going to call this Simon Cowell Christianity. If you don't know Simon Cowell, American Idol, he's now on something else. So You Think You Got Talent, I think, yeah, right? And Simon Cowell got a reputation of saying things like, you know, I just told someone that they were the worst singer in America, but congratulations, you're the worst singer in the world, right? Now, and I would listen to some of these people, and they were, in fact, the worst singers in the entire world. But the way he would say it was, he's speaking the truth in love. No. So there's times and ways that when we speak, we don't want to end up with this Simon Cowell truth-telling. This actually was something I had heard. I had a guy who actually came to me, and he said that he was having issues in his marriage. And he says, because I'm a truth-teller, so I have a problem because I really enjoy sexual activities. And I don't want to ever lie to my wife when I lust, so I tell her, I write down all the times that I lusted that day and who those women were, and then I present her with the list of people. And I'm like, this is a real story. This is a real story. And I'm like, no, man, you're going to die. And he was like, yeah, my wife's divorcing me. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, dude. And he's like, should I not tell the truth all the time? Isn't that interesting? Or someone is not thinking correctly about their belief system, and you want to come in as a Christian, and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to be a truth teller. I'm just going to tell them they're idiots. I'm just going to tell them they're stupid. And another pastor, this was really tricky, had some people coming into the church, they're like, oh, we're from this congregation. I got to be careful too, because there's people here from that congregation. And they're from that congregation, and they said, we just can't be under this particular pastor who's no longer pastor anymore. And I'm like, well, what's the issue? He goes, well, the problem is when he gives children's sermons, it's really bad. And I'm like, well, that's no reason to leave a church. I mean, I give children's sermons all the time. And he goes, no, the last children's sermon, we were talking about baptism. And so the time came for him to talk about baptism. And so he looked at the little kids and he goes, are any of you not baptized? And I'm like, well, I think that's a great question. Are any of you not baptized? And so a couple kids raised their hand. And he said, well, yeah, but then at that moment, the pastor looked at him and said, well, you're going to hell. This is a true story. It was really awkward when the pastor called me up saying, hey, I heard you have a couple of members at your church that are here. You got to send them back to me and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, you're going to hell. No, I didn't say that. Fred, speak the truth in love. There's times that we've got to make sure that when we speak the truth, are we doing this simply to become arrogant and Simon Cowlish, and maybe also even to get something funny out of it? I have this problem. You know I have. I've confessed many a times that I come up with these witty remarks and things against people on the outside, and that is not the way to do it. I remember leading a Bible study, a new member's Bible study, and I had to stop using some certain material because the video was of this pastor, and he was talking about, you know, a fool in their heart says there's no God. And so on the video, he said, so if you are not a believer and you want your own day, congratulations, you can have April 1st because you are all fools. And I'm like, okay, cute, funny, I guess. Maybe it shows up on a meme, but that's not the. Is it speaking the truth? But in love, do we always do this? And so, yes, this gets back to George. We've always got to be careful on what we say and how we say it. So I will confess my sins once again, because you're talking about the dress and the hanger, right? Or is that something else? No, it was just the dress and make me look fat. Then we won't talk about the other things. So yeah, I don't even know what that was about. I have no idea what those. So my wife bought a dress. And we were in the store and we looked at it. She's like, this is a great looking dress. And I'm like, that's a great looking dress. I'm going to buy the dress. Okay, buy the dress. Great. So we get it home. This was one where I don't think I was lying or speaking the truth in love. It was a slip of the tongue, and it sounded good in my head, but it was not good coming out. And so she puts the dress on, and I say, oh, wow, that looked better on the hanger. That's a Simon Cowell. That's it. That fits under that thing. But it wasn't that I was trying to also be mean. I was just like, oh, I was a little shocked. And then I realized something, because that's, again, are we telling the truth in love, and are we doing it in a way that builds up and lifts people up? I think there are times, my friends, that we are going to be in situations we should not be brutally honest. I think there's times that it's good. If someone is caught in sin and their life is about to be destroyed and they are headed down a path of destruction, sometimes you have to come in with some really hard truth. But can you still speak that truth in love, saying over and over again, I love you. I don't want you to go down this path. Please reconsider. There's ways that we can be truth tellers, but you should always throw it smack dab through a filter. Is this loving? Because if it's not loving, then we shouldn't be speaking it. We need to find ways of telling other people. I think we should also think about this whenever we encounter anyone on the outside. I think we should also maybe put this in any time we want to post something online. We could be truth tellers, but are we doing it in such a way that is loving and caring? Yes, George.
We also have lying to ourselves.
Yeah, this is.
Oh, I still have some hair.
Yeah.
Or I didn't say anything wrong.
I didn't say, yeah. That's how we get stuck in those things when we can't see it. This is the reason why that's why we're in community, so that we can help people who get caught in these things, saying, hey, something needs to change here. And I love you. If I didn't love you, I'd be like, well, whatever, go live your life. I don't care. Like, who cares what you do? But no, I care about you so much, I need to say something to you. And especially when you get from casual lying to habitual lying to lifestyle lying, that's when your whole life becomes a fraud. And I've met so many people like this. And I'm like, you don't have to live that way. There is a way that you can live that is free. Will you have to go through some pain? Yeah, it's going to be hard. Shedding the lie so that you can just simply be honest and vulnerable, that's amazing. So when that happens, know that you've got friends, you've got family, you've got pastors, you've got church members who are going to surround you and love you so that you can step away from the lies and stand in God's truth. Let's pray. Father, so much to say about this topic. Whew. We can go on and on and on. But Lord, I think it's clear to believe that we are all liars. And it is clear that there's something in us that's been with us ever since we were kids, that we are broken and we are quick to lie. Some of us, Lord, don't think that some of the lies we tell are that bad. And yet today you convict us of how are we living our life. Some of us, Lord, go the opposite direction and we are too brutal in our truth in such a way that is not helpful and hurts and damages. I pray, Lord, that you would give us your spirit so that, one, we could live as free people, so that we don't ever have to hide anymore behind lying. That we can be authentic and we can be real. We don't need to pretend that we're either super saintly or super sinful. Lord, you already know the truth, and you already love us, and you've already died for us so that you might set us free. Lord, if we're living in that habitual lying, we pray that today we would make a change. We'd start telling the truth and we would see that it's not as bad as we think it is. But Lord, help us and protect us from swinging it so far that we become angry truth tellers and Simon Cowell Christians. But instead, we would look upon each other with love in our hearts, wanting to see the best for those around us. Thank you, Lord, for your incredible grace and love that sustains us through our lies, and that you forgive us, and that you tell us, here we go, let's try again, live a covenantal life. And thank you for being Lord of truth that has set us free because of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen indeed.